Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Hi, everyone. We're excited today to talk about a very timely subject on how to stay physically and emotionally healthy during a pandemic. We're all in the throes of COVID-19 coronavirus, and it really is taking its toll on our life. Everything seems to be turned upside down. So today we're going to talk about how we are trying our best to stay healthy for ourselves and for our kids. We're going to discuss how to work through some of the anxiety and fear that may be causing some physical symptoms, not only mental, emotional. We're going to talk about a movement on how to spread some kindness during this difficult time, and then also discuss how to talk to your kids about coronavirus, because I'm sure they have a lot of questions and you've been trying to answer them. So let's jump in. So Toni, how are things over in Calgary for you right now?
You know, things are very interesting here. And, you know, especially being in Calgary and just the time of year it is right now, the weather is up and down. Earlier this week, a few days ago, it was minus 20. So it was, you know, tough to get outside. Thankfully, it's warming up. So, you know, when we're talking about this idea of, you know, social distancing, kids being at home, you know, what to do during the day. Thankfully, with warming up, we can go outside now. But you know, it's been a strange few days.
It really has. Yeah.
How are things going in Toronto?
Bit of a chaotic scene right now. And Stuart's preschool closed. Friday was the last day, so he's been home since starting on Saturday. Pete's working from home, and I'm doing more virtual visits as well. So we're juggling, looking after him, keeping him busy, trying not to expose people or get ourselves exposed. So starting to go a little stir crazy. So I might be a little bit frazzled as I'm trying to make sense right now. But, you know, we'll do our best. I'm sure I'm not alone in that. It's really tough to try to juggle work and having the kids at home. So we're all going through this together.
We're all doing our best, Lisa.
And Toni, yeah. You were stuck inside last week, right? So tell me, you had some illnesses going around before this even started. So, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, the viruses just keep coming because I just completed over a week of staying or keeping Frankie at home because she had hand, foot, mouth disease, which is a very common virus that kids are affected with, especially kids in daycare, day home, schools, that kind of thing. So it's like we went from one type of isolation to another this week. So, you know, I've already kind of been in the mode
of had social distancing time. Oh, geez.
Yeah. It has its pros and its cons for sure. It already had me, really adjusting my schedule, doing some work from home, and then really being already in the mindset. I actually do some hypnobirthing classes, group classes in person, and I've switched those to being online. So I've already kind of been in the mode of making these shifts. So it wasn't so dramatic for me, but you know, we're still adjusting. So
oh, for sure. Yeah. You've been adaptable as much as possible, and you probably started to implement some immune boosting habits and supplements into your regime. So should we talk about that a little bit in terms of how we support our immune system with obviously the disclaimer that there's been nothing proven to prevent or treat the COVID-19 virus. So what we're going to talk about is what we use in general to help keep our immune system strong during the regular, you know, cold and flu season.
Absolutely. And you know, there is a piece where there, I do have a certain kind of regime with Frankie in terms of some of the nutrients that I give her to support her immune system. I aim for daily. It isn't always daily, but it makes me wonder if that's why, you know, this past run of hand, foot, mouth, sometimes it can be pretty severe and cause, you know, some really terrible mouth sores and a lot of discomfort in both kids and adults. I wonder if some of these nutrients really helped to make sure that this was just a mild case for her. I'm not saying that that's the case, but I just wonder. You know, we've actually, you know, had a run of a number of different viruses for the past around 8 months or so. 6 to 8 months. You know, she had roseola, she had croup, and then hand, foot, mouth. So I've been pretty diligent about giving her a special drink that has a children's echinacea, along with a powder that has some elderberry, some vitamin D, some other nutrients. I also like to give her a low-dose zinc, which is very supportive of the immune system. She has a vitamin DK drop as well as a vitamin A drop. Vitamin A does have some antiviral properties to it, as well as making sure she has some good bacteria, so a kid's probiotic. And she typically happily takes some of these supplements. You know, we give it to her in a form that tastes good and so it's nice to be able to kind of give her a little bit of extra support on top of what she's already eating, as you know, and trying to keep her diet as healthy as possible. Are there things that you do with Stuart as well to keep his immune system healthy?
Oh yeah, definitely. It sounds like you have a good regime there. And yeah, from what I've heard from mm-hmm. hand, foot, and mouth, it can be very painful. So I'm glad she wasn't suffering, you know, as much as she potentially could have. And then I've heard it spread to the parents too. So what you're doing yourself must have potentially played a role too. So great job. That's a super mom moment for you, Tony.
Ooh, thanks.
We'll get to some more later, but but yeah, for Stuart, so we do like to use some supplements and herbs as well. So he has a special herbal formula. It has a bit of astragalus, echinacea, elderberry in there. He calls it spicy. He's not a huge fan of the taste. They put it in with a bit of glycerin, but he will have it because I explained to him that sometimes we have to take things that don't taste good, so it helps to prevent us from getting sick, so we can still, you know, go outside and play and see our friends. So he buys it. Sometimes I have to reiterate that every day, but he'll still take it in the end. We have some good probiotics for kids. Sometimes I'll add a bit of vitamin C powder to his food or to, you know, a smoothie that we've made, that we might add in a berry and green superfood powder to it. Today we were squeezing fresh lemons and I put it in a little shot glass and he drank the fresh lemon juice. He's done that before. He likes the sour taste, so he gets a little bit of vitamin C. We try to give him bone broth that we make in the Instant Pot. Today I loaded it up with some garlic, so he still has to try that one. He's had the more kind of plain ones, but hopefully awesome. He'll like that. And then if I make the ginger root tea with the fresh ginger, if I add enough honey, he'll drink it. So it has to be a little sweeter than I would have it. I usually don't even add honey because I like it on its own. But we also give him a good multivitamin for kids, vitamin D, K2 drop form as well. So not on a daily basis. Like kids, we can kind of rotate through different things, but try to give it to him most days. Maybe on the weekend, a day or two, we won't give him those things, but trying to keep a healthy diet as much as possible.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds really great. And you know, something that I always like to just kind of keep in mind with Frankie, I typically like to keep her sugar intake as low as possible. I'm not going to always keep it zero. I mean, I don't, I don't feel like I need to be that strict or always kind of on watch for her, but definitely I like to keep it on the low side and just making sure that throughout the day she's getting some kind of fruit and veggies and even sometimes a little bit of fermented foods. She'll have, you know, some mouthfuls of sauerkraut every once in a while. So I'm happy about that. And
that's amazing. Toddler to like sauerkraut. Wow.
I know, it's awesome. It might be a little bit of the Ukrainian in her. And and you know, even if the fruit and veggie is in like one of those fruit and veggie pouches, I'm not going to make sure that it always has to be fresh. You know, there's a bunch of different forms to get those fruits and veggies in your kids. So you know, I'm happy with you know, wherever she gets it.
For sure. Yeah. We bought a bunch of frozen organic berries and frozen like cauliflower, broccoli, carrot medley mixed from Costco. So we have that too on hand just in case, you know, the fresh food becomes more limited, but it seems like supplies are okay right now, knock on wood.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, depending on how things go in the next few days, in the next few weeks, you know, the plan is definitely to keep up with getting in some fresh fruit and veggies. But you know, if we need to, you know, relying on some of the frozen versions of those.
For sure. Always good to have as a backup. Yeah, we bought a chest freezer, so we have it downstairs in our basement. So I'm really grateful for that, and that our mother-in-law is always so great about giving us cabbage rolls and different frozen foods that she's prepared herself. So we've got a pretty good stock just in case.
That's great. That's always nice to have, for sure. And definitely, you know, I don't know if we can even say it too many times, but just making sure that we're washing our hands frequently. Frankie's really gotten into washing her hands lately, so that's helpful. You know, trying to avoid touching the face.
I know, that's hard, right? Stuart's constantly really wanting to put his hand in my mouth. I don't know why.
Yeah. And just, you know, doing wipe downs, doing cleanups maybe a little bit more frequently than we usually do.
Yeah, that's really a good point. So yeah, keeping the basics, right? Right when we come in from outside, we wash his hands. Right before he eats, we wash his hands. We're trying to get him to cough or sneeze into his sleeve. He actually has a bit of a cough and a runny nose right now. So knock on wood, it's most likely just the common cold, but we're keeping his distance from other people too. So we're trying to get him to sneeze into his arm as much as possible. So, and then there was a good, they're saying to sing happy birthday twice so that you're singing for 20 seconds. That's a good amount of time. And I didn't actually realize, but the soap itself, especially like liquid soap, not foam soap, helps to break up the outer coat of the virus, which is covered by fatty lipids. So it's not just removing the virus, but it could actually help to break down the virus. This is what I read on Dr. Aviva Ram, her website. She's a medical doctor. She has some good general recommendations for immune support as well. And she even talks about gargling, how that can just reduce the virus from entering the upper respiratory passages or the throat as well. So something so simple, it doesn't cause any harm. Is it going to do anything? Maybe, but not going to hurt, right? So yeah, she has awesome. Some good tips on her website. So we'll link to that in the show notes as well.
Perfect. Perfect. Anything else that you're doing for yourself for immune support, Lisa?
Yeah, I think, right, especially today, because I guess the last few days I haven't really had a routine. Like I'm still trying to go to bed early. I'm waking up early, so I have some time to do a bit of exercise or get a bit of work done before Stuart wakes up. But I've been waking up super, super early and like having a hard time falling back asleep. Mm-hmm. So today I started to get into the routine of trying to do a bit more meditation. We'll link to it as well, but Jack Kornfield has some great meditations on his website. He's like a meditation master, you know, trained as a Buddhist monk, I think. So I was listening to one of his meditations, trying to incorporate a bit more yoga. I'll probably bring in the gratitude journal because it was, you know, the schedule's been off for the last few days. But I think trying to relax, be in the moment, de-stress as much as possible, because it's so easy to be pulled into what's going on in the media and social media. And of course, we want to keep up with it, but we also want to protect ourselves and just take it in small doses and then try to kind of release that energy and those emotions. So I think working on some stress reduction, and that's going to help me sleep a lot better too, I think, because I just wake up and my mind's racing more for trying to get work done and business things done. But I'm sure, you know, the virus is definitely at the back of my mind. I want to be active and do something about it, but I kind of feel helpless. So yeah, how about you, Tony? Are you anything else that you feel is helping you through this time? Or, you know, how are you coping emotionally or physically with everything?
Yeah, I mean, sleep has definitely been a little bit more of a challenge. And sleep is like, you know, just a deal breaker for me. I really need to get a good amount of sleep, or I'm just not as functional as I'd like to be, and it really impacts my mood. So I have been taking a little bit of extra sleep support in terms of extra nutrients, you know, different combinations with a bit of melatonin, 5-HTP, L-theanine, I think is a really nice nutrient for me in terms of helping to kind of calm down the mind. But definitely yesterday I was feeling a little bit more emotional. So not only that kind of extra support of sleep that I've been doing, but even that just kind of checking in and actually paying attention to how I'm feeling, paying attention to how my body is feeling, my breathing, my heart rate. And something that's been really great for me, even with kind of, you know, routine and schedule kind of being all over the place, has been kind of connecting with people. And also music. I find that music just can really shift my mindset, how I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, and often I'm getting my body into it. So I'm often, you know, dancing. But you know, earlier this week on Monday, you know, I was touching base with people on Facebook, and I saw, you know, Jan Arden did an online Facebook concert, and another Canadian musician, Dan Mangan, posted a concert. So, you know, just having that music going sometimes in the background rather than news has really been helpful for me.
I love that. Yeah, you've been posting a lot of good things on social media too, even just like, you know, showing people how to do a simple breathing exercise. I saw you posted to some of those online concerts. So thanks for sharing, Tony. The music I haven't actually brought in the last few days. I don't know why. It just hasn't been on the radar for me, and music is usually a really good release. So thanks for that reminder.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of the benefits, the pros that social media can provide, is it can be a way to connect with other people while we are, you know, having some distance between us. So it's nice to connect with people that way. But I even found myself, you know, picking up the phone and calling my grandma, calling my mom, calling my dad. You know, just before we recorded, my brother called, I need to call him back. You know, especially as women, what can be really helpful for us is that tendency to tend and befriend, you know, connect with other people, talk with other people. If I just sat and kept my worries and my fears and my thoughts, you know, running around in my head, that wouldn't be great. So just being able to express a little bit of it, not like getting really deep into it or sharing the kind of woe is me catastrophizing. That doesn't help, but just to you know, touch base. And you know, when there are people that you are able to be around, your partner, your kids, you know, having hugs, that kind of thing can really be helpful, especially if physical touch is one of your love languages.
Definitely. And it's going to be hard for people if they're isolated on their own. So, Tony, we were talking about this before, but starting kind of a movement, and I'm sure there's similar things out there, but naming it hashtag Kindemic, kind, and then like pandemic, but emic at the end, Kindemic. And that's, you know, having the goal daily to reach out to someone who might need some help, ask them if they need any supplies. If you're going over to the grocery store, maybe it's paying for someone's order at Starbucks if they're getting a grab and go order, or a coffee, or just paying, you know, and leaving money and saying, this is for the next person that orders, tell them it's on me. But trying to just pay that forward, right? And we can feed the kindness during this time where people can get really alone, depressed, down, and not feel connected. So I think that's something we can start to work on. And then if you're in for the joining the challenge or the movement, if you can aim to do something every day and then post it on social media, just show other people, you know, some good ideas on how we can connect with and help others too. And then that plants the seed and it can just keep growing and growing.
I love that idea, Lisa. And in a sense, again, that's just another way to reframe kind of the circumstances that we're in, you know, really looking at kind of where's the opportunity for us to really connect, and especially to share some kindness and take care of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's good to look at it that way as much as possible. We know it's so trying right now, like, as you know, we're small business owners, there's people that own restaurants and bars that have had to close, like people's livelihood is on the line. And then we're not only talking about them, but also the frontline workers, people working in the hospitals, the elderly who are very susceptible to the negative effects of the virus. But we also want to look at how can we be proactive in our houses and our lives to just find some sort of opportunity to have something good come out of this as much as possible. I see a lot of businesses are learning how to go online. Maybe it's something they had in the back of their mind. So even, you know, personal training businesses, you know, I'll be doing more online consults as well. There was supposed to be a conference that was in Toronto, but they're going virtually and they're actually going to reach a lot more people that way. So there can be opportunity. It might be hard to find it in the beginning, but if we can just allow some space and time to try to figure that out, we may see a little bit of a silver lining.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank goodness that there are those online opportunities. You know, especially some people out there may really rely on different appointments, with doctor's appointments or even therapy appointments. So thankfully, there's a lot of now online options in terms of talking to different health professionals, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a nurse, whether it's a psychologist or other counselor, so that if you are needing that support, you can reach out and get it without having to worry about being exposed in a way that isn't appropriate for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we, you know, we love technology, but we can also hate it, but we can use it to get that support we need, especially during this time when we're isolated at home. And, you know, thank goodness for online shopping and deliveries. That's going to be a lifesaver for a lot of people. So try to look at the positive of where the tech world has taken us. And then I was going to share as well on our show notes, there's a Facebook group called Get Superpowered, and it was created by Dr. Shefali, who's a renowned child psychologist. She shares so many great strategies and tools on how to, you know, raise healthy kids, how to support them. So she started a Facebook group with Renee Jane, I don't think I'm saying her name wrong, or her name right, of what's called Go Zen, which is a program online for kids to help them work through anxiety, stress, and negative emotions. So I'm definitely going to check that out. It's called Get Superpowered, and it's going to give parents tools, as I understand it, to help work through the challenges that are ahead.
Awesome. And I'm sure we'll be talking about this on future episodes as well, because this isn't necessarily just about the pandemic, but our kids can definitely be exposed to things and have different anxieties and fears that they need tools to be able to manage.
Definitely. And I'm sure, you know, people have kids of different ages, our listeners, and are, you know, they're probably asking you, your kids, a lot of questions about what's happening. Why is everything closed? It can definitely fuel if there's been any underlying anxiety, or start to cultivate some fear of viruses, of getting sick, of going outside. So there's been a lot of questions about how to talk to your kids about the coronavirus. So Tony, what do you think about that? How should we broach the topic with our kids?
Well, I definitely think the first thing you have to do is really, and I think this is kind of in line with some of the recommendations by Dr. Shefali. I've definitely seen a number of her videos, and I like her approach on parenting. First, it really is about looking into at yourself. I think it's really key to kind of process your own fears and anxieties first, and really be aware of kind of how you're feeling about things, and doing your best to again dial it back, so that you're not transferring that to your kids. It's definitely something that I've been really mindful about in the past few days with Frankie. Because I don't know what she necessarily knows or can understand about what's going on, but there is a piece of I want to have the energy and my emotional state to be at a certain place that is positive and not necessarily muddying or coloring kind of her experience of her day to day right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's important to note, especially before there's any conversation about what's going on. We want to make sure we're in a good place. Like, yes, we're going to have anxieties and fears, and we're going to release them outside of the conversation with our kids. And, you know, we can show like some emotion or relate it to something that's happened to us in the past when we've been, you know, fearful or scared of something, but maybe how we got through that or how it was resolved, so that they can maybe understand this is not permanent and there's ways to work through it. But definitely being in a state where you're able to talk about it and be kind of in the moment and not reactionary is key. And then we also want to find out what they know. Like, I know Stuart and Frankie are pretty young, so they don't really understand what's going on, but kids at school could be hearing, or could have been hearing, things from their friends about the virus and the severity and people dying. So we need to know where our kids are at, and then meet them there and discuss that and explore it, and let them really express their fears and anxieties without dismissing it, and really hear them. And I've heard a really good strategy of trying to not distancing themselves from the emotion, but saying, I see that you're looking like you're really scared right now, or I see that it's kind of distancing the emotion from themselves. So they don't take on the persona of the emotion. I forget exact wording for it, but I think Dr. Shefali talks about that as well. So that's great. They are not the emotion. It's like, I can see from your face that you look anxious or you look fearful. Let's talk about that.
That's great. Yeah, I like that approach for sure. Mm-hmm. And again, still kind of talking about the logistics of what's happening. You know, their schedule has changed, their activities are changing, and we may be really emphasizing their hygiene in terms of you know, watching what they eat, not sharing their drinks or their food, not touching their face or picking their nose.
That's hard to get them to stop doing, right?
It can really be challenging, depending again on the age. And also kind of having those reminders, not coming from a place of anxiety or fear, but as gentle reminders.
Yeah, just to explain why we're taking all of these precautions. And then we took Stuart out yesterday and today just to go for a walk, to go ride his bike. And he's noticing the parks are empty. He's realizing preschool's closed and he keeps asking why. So I'm explaining, you know, people are getting sick. Everybody's staying inside because they don't want other people to get sick and they need to rest and recover. But everybody's going to get better soon. And then the schools are going to open again and we can go play at the park. But right now you get to stay home with mommy and daddy, and we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to do some baking. We're going to do some puzzles. So I'm trying to reframe it and then hopefully make him see that this could be a good temporary change. But he started to have some more meltdowns because I think that lack of routine of going to preschool. We're keeping up the routine as much as possible with sleep and nap time and meal times, but he definitely can sense something is really different. It's not like a vacation. It's something strange is going on.
For sure. Well, I even know when I'm off my routine, it impacts me. So it can definitely impact the little ones too.
For sure.
Yeah. And that's all, you know, one of my really, you know, key things that I want to keep in mind with Frankie is not having the news on all the time on the TV, you know, especially when she's around, you know, just keeping things really neutral. And even keeping my intake of the news down, I don't need to be seeing all the live, you know, media reports and, you know, updates from the government and the health officials. I can check in to see what the recommendations are without having a constant play-by-play live of what's going on. And the kids don't need that either.
Mm-hmm. That can really throw our adrenals off, put us in fight or flight if there's this panic around the announcements or the numbers. And we know it's, you know, very serious and we want to keep tracking the situation, but take it in small doses and pick the time of day where you're ready to handle that information. Like for me, if I start my day with that information, I'm going to be wired and, you know, vibrating at a level I don't want to be vibrating at the rest of the day. So I want to start my day with my, you know, exercise or yoga or meditation. And then when I'm ready, okay, now let me look and see what's happening and be in a better frame of mind to process it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I definitely like to make sure that it's not the last thing I do before I go to bed.
Yeah, please, not right before you go to bed. That's a sleep disruptor for sure.
Exactly.
But good point, because people watch the 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock news. I can't do that myself, but you know, people do that all the time. So maybe watch something funny if you can. If you watch it for a little bit, then turn to a funny show, read a book, but learn how to kind of decompress and turn off. You still may fall asleep, but your brain's not going to be able to settle down and get that deep sleep that you need.
Absolutely.
And we'll I'll mention though that we'll link to the articles on how to talk to your kids about the coronavirus as well in our show notes. So you can have some guidelines to follow if you have any more questions.
Perfect. That is a great idea. So can we switch gears now and talk about some supermom moments? Because I want to hear that. About your supermom moments.
Thanks. Lisa. Well, I
want some good news.
Well, I think it started as a supermom moment, but then it kind of turned to a mom mess up. So I'll explain. Stuart had his third birthday party with his friends, the neighborhood friends, I guess 2 weekends ago. And I got some loot bag fillers from Costco, which I love. I think I mentioned that the last episode. And I bought him those smart sweets. So it's like gummies that look like fish. They kind of taste like those Swedish berries. They have a lot of fiber in them and not much sugar and nothing artificial. It's still processed food and there's nothing healthy about it, but at least it's a better option than the typical artificially colored and flavored gummies out there. So I bought little packages of those as part of their loot bags, as well as some little books from Costco, some little made good chocolate cookies, and I did put some Lint bunnies in there. So there's still a lot of sugar, but you know, I tried to do my best anyway. But so each kid got a smart sweet bag, and then my nephews weren't able to come to the party. So there was two loot bags sitting in my cupboard in the kitchen, as well as some extra smart sweet bags. And they were just calling my name. So every night I would take a bag out while I was cleaning up from dinner and hide it from Stuart and eat them one at a time while I did the dishes. I'm not a candy person anymore. I don't know. These are like so addictive. But so I ate all the ones that were left over. Plus I took the ones that were in my nephew's loot bags out and I ate those. So they don't have those in their loot bags when I finally do give it to them. So they're delicious, but I can't buy them.
So, here I was so impressed with you getting those smart sweet bags. I was so impressed, Lisa. Maybe not super impressed.
Maybe not. They have to stay out of my house. I was surprised that I was that obsessed with them. So, because I used to have a big sweet tooth, but you know, it's gotten better. But anyway.
Oh boy. So I guess just limited amounts only.
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. Small doses, right?
Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah, there's my moment there. But tell me, what about you, Tony? I know you've been doing a great job because Frankie's been sick, but has there been any mama mess ups that you can think of?
Well, I mean, you could definitely frame Frankie getting sick as a mama mess up. I mean, you know, there's pros and cons to that whole thing. I actually was, you know, conscious of whether or not it was a good idea to go to the farmer's market playground because I was like, okay, what kind of viruses or what kind of sickness is she going to pick up? And of course she did pick something up. She picked up foot mouth. And actually even in the beginning, you know, my partner and I, we were convinced that she had impetigo. So my mess up was that I diagnosed it wrong. I was sure that that was it. And, you know, maybe looking on the bright side, super mom moment is actually, I didn't just, you know, dig in my heels and be convinced that I had it right. I actually took her to a medical professional. We went to the Alberta Children's Hospital here in Calgary. Thankfully it's very close to us. Waited for a couple of hours, you know, had all the supplies that we needed to wait for the doctor and actually got the right diagnosis. So I was actually kind of relieved that it was hand, foot, mouth. She didn't need antibiotics. It's a viral infection. It's, you know, very common. It's self-resolving. So, mama mess up, maybe a bit of a super mom moment. I don't know.
I'd say a super mom moment. And yeah, I guess I introduced that wrong, but I meant, you know, mama mess up. They probably didn't have one because you've been home with Frankie. So that's a super mom moment to be looking after a sick kid, no matter, you know, what happens there.
And so Lisa, especially this week, being at home with Stuart, what is your mama must have?
So we recently bought, and I'm so happy we did, was a Disney like Pixar puzzle. There's actually 7 different puzzles in one. And it's a little bit like for an older age than Stuart, but he's actually doing a really good job. They have 3 different levels of puzzles where there's, you know, puzzles with maybe 48 pieces, some with 62 pieces, but he's really latched on and he's loving it. And he actually can put it together mostly by himself, the easier ones anyway. So it's keeping him busy for half an hour at a time, and he's doing it several times a day. So I think that was a good investment. So we'll link to how you can get that, but it has, you know, it's from different movies like The Incredibles or Toy Story, and he's really enjoying that. So that's helping to keep us sane during all this inside time.
That sounds like a great activity. Awesome. So we're at the end of our episode. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope we gave you some tips and some info that's helpful for you. If you have any comments, any suggestions, any questions for us, and want to again check out the things that we talked about today, it'll be linked up on our show notes. So visit our website, perimenopausalmamas.com. Connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We have posts up there. We'd really love you to subscribe to the podcast. So please leave us a review and a 5-star rating, especially if you enjoy this episode. And always please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a healthy week. Stay healthy.
Yeah, stay healthy, everyone. Talk to you again soon.